Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you decided to join us today. This evening at 7 p.m., Governor Gretchen Whitmer will deliver what will be her fifth State of the State address and the first of her second term in Lansing, which we will broadcast right here on 101.9 WDET. In the speech, Governor Whitmer is expected to reveal her plans for Michigan's economy and infrastructure while also addressing how she wants to make Michigan more competitive in the labor market and protect fundamental rights here in our state. This will be her first address with Democrats holding majorities in both the State House and the Senate, which means the plan she lays out may have real teeth. They may have a real chance of becoming law, as Democrats have a unique opportunity to realize the governor's agenda. But what specifically do we think she should propose or will propose? Are there any proposals that will get done in a bipartisan manner? And for those that can't, will she have buy-in from enough members of her own party to accomplish her goals? These are the things, the big questions that are kind of hanging over the state capitol today in Lansing as the governor prepares to deliver her speech and as Democrats just get started really trying to manage the legislature in Lansing for the first time in almost 40 years. And that's where we begin the conversation today. We want to talk about what the governor is expected to say, the plans she is expected to lay out, and how this all fits into the narrative of Democratic control, which is just off to a new start in Lansing here in 2023. We would love to hear from you, our listeners, about what you're expecting to hear from the governor when she speaks today. What kinds of things do you think should be on her agenda? What kinds of things do you think are realistic goals for her to set for Democrats who have control of the legislature? Are there things that you would rather the governor not talk about or not put on the table at this time? Things that you may think maybe should be later into the year or later into the terms in which Democrats will have control in Lansing. Give us a sense of what you're anticipating as the governor gets ready to give this speech. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation that way. A little later in the show, we are going to be joined by State Senator Ruth Johnson, who is a Republican who represents Michigan's 24th State Senate District. She was also a former two-term Michigan Secretary of State, you may remember. But first, we want to talk more specifically with some of the journalists who are getting ready to listen to the governor's speech in Lansing. Zach Gorchow is the publisher and executive editor of the Gongwar News Service in Lansing. Zach, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, great to be here, Stephen.
Also with us is Emily Lawler. She is the state politics and government editor at the Detroit Free Press. Emily, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's start with what we expect to hear from Governor Whitmer this evening. Zach, what are you anticipating?
Well, I think she has put out, and her administration has put out, I think the meat of the speech in terms of the proposals in advance, which is a time-tested, you know, tactic by governors, so that they get kind of a week's worth of publicity as opposed to one night. So I think we're going to see, for the first time in her governorship, a very policy-laden speech in terms of the proposals she would like the legislature to act on. It's not that she didn't try that in the past, but with a Republican legislature, there was not a lot, you know, that was going to be a there was a lot that were non-starters that she was advocating in the past. Whereas now, as you mentioned, with a Democratic legislature, there's a clear runway. And so I think we're going to hear proposals for things like funding for law enforcement, universal preschool, tax relief, targeted tax relief, tutoring, and so forth. But I think overall, you're going to hear the governor say something along the lines of, the voters spoke, and now is our chance to act.
Emily, is that along the lines of what you're expecting as well? And try to sort of put this also in the context of what's going on in Lansing, which is new for all of us, this idea of Democrats being in control of the legislature.
Yeah, I think that the two biggest things is going to be the targeted tax relief that Zach mentioned. So the earned income tax credit, or I believe they're rebranding it as the working families tax credit or something that, along those lines, is certainly up for discussion already by Republicans and Democrats. And then also the, retirement tax changes that under Snyder's governorship, they had repealed an exemption for some retirement income on pensions. And I think there's discussion around restoring that and possibly broadening it to other types of retirement income as well. So those are two things that I expect that Whitmer will address, obviously. And also, I just sort of expect those to be the big thing going through Lansing in the first part of the year here, because they do have that sort of buy-in from Republicans and Democrats, although they have some different ideas for how to go about them. But, you know, with these razor-thin majorities, I think it might make sense to start off with a few things with some bipartisan support. We actually saw a state representative ticket a bill passed with only Democratic votes yesterday, had to come into the House after his wife had just given birth that morning. Yeah. So these are really, really thin majorities to be working with.
Yeah, I saw that kind of unfold on social media yesterday while they were waiting to get this last vote that they needed to get something done. Give me a sense of whether you feel like Republicans will push that early, Emily, and really force Democrats to have everybody there in order to get the votes so that they can get things done. Or is there this opportunity for bipartisanship where you could get Republican votes for a few things? I was a little disappointed, I guess, to see so early yesterday something like what happened, where you needed this last Democratic vote for something that I don't think should have required just all partisan participation.
Yeah, my sense is that Republicans are sort of learning and testing a little bit what it means to be in the type of minority they have, which is that, you know, they don't control any of the branches, but they have pretty big minorities. I know that's a bit of an oxymoron in both chambers. So I think they're sort of flexing their muscle, trying to see how they can wield those minorities. But obviously, the majorities are just going to be a big blockade in some instances. But I wouldn't be surprised if we started out or tried to start out on a pretty bipartisan note in Lansing, just because I think that would behoove both parties, really. I think Republicans could get more of what they wanted that way, and Democrats would have to work, less hard to keep every single member online on the same page and from having a personal life in some instances, I guess, to get every single vote there in person.
Yeah. Zach, I want to talk about the pre-K proposal that we expect to be part of the governor's speech tonight. This is an issue that we've been working on in Michigan for some time. The phrase pre-K for all is the phrase that they're using now. That's an expansion of what we have. Talk about how significant that would be, but also the likelihood for bipartisan support there. The business community in Michigan in particular has really wanted us to do better on this issue for a long time.
Right. So the Michigan has something called the Great Start Readiness Program. It's existed, I believe, going back to the 80s, but was quite limited early on. And the key limiting factor is income. Right now, to be eligible for it, your household income has to be less than 250% of the federal poverty level. But this has been a program that's been expanded quite a bit in the last decade. There used to be a limited, much more limited number of slots available in each county, and that has been boosted to the point now where their counties aren't even filling all the available slots. But there's still this, been this cap that, you know, if you, your household income is more than 250% of the federal poverty level, you're not eligible. And this is a program for four-year-olds, strictly, I should mention. So what we, it sounds like the governor will propose is getting rid of the income limit, and that this is available for anybody. Mm-hmm. Putting it under the idea of trying to lower costs for families, that, you know, everybody knows, you know, certainly with a child, knows the cost of daycare is quite high, and this would be free, and as opposed to the many thousands of dollars that many parents are paying for daycare. So it would be quite significant. A lot will depend on how much additional money is put into the program. I believe the current expenditures are somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 to $450 million. Hopefully I'm not too far off, but I think I'm in the ballpark there. So you have to, one, increase the funding so that there's enough agencies and staff to support this mission. And then, two, maybe as critically, you have to hope that there's enough people out there to be hired to provide the service. And then there's a roughly somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 to 120,000 four-year-olds in the state of Michigan. You have to get the word out, which has been an issue since the program was expanded, that there's a belief that not all parents who are eligible know that it exists. So it could be quite significant, but a lot will come down to the implementation.
Yeah, yeah. Emily, as Zach mentioned, this is a little about money and how much is going to be put into the program. Money is kind of swimming around in Lansing in a way that it hasn't before, at least not in any of our recent memories. Talk about the opportunity to use that money for things like expanded pre-K for all, which would really be a change to what we're doing.
Yeah, so we're sitting on a pile of money right now. That's pretty unprecedented, at least in my time covering state budgets. But the state's got, I think up to $9 billion still just sort of sitting unallocated and unspoken for. So I think that, you know, it looks like Whitmer's got plans to spend at least a substantial part of that money between the free pre-K program for four-year-olds we were just talking about, and then just putting money back in people's pockets. I mean, it's not a secret that this is a tough economic time right now, and that a lot of people are feeling pinched in ways that they didn't a year or 2 years or 3 years ago. So, you know, those targeted tax cuts like the earned income tax and the retirement tax are certainly things that would cost the state indirectly. It's not as if we're putting money into them, but we'd be collecting less money. And then same with sort of a big thing that I don't expect to be addressed at State of the State, which is that there's a statutory income tax rollback mm-hmm. that fiscal experts expect to be triggered, where that would take the state income tax from 4.25% down to 4.05%, which would also, again, just mean less money coming into the state. And I will say my colleague Paul Egan was talking to some fiscal experts who think that all of that tax relief is doable, the earned income tax credit, retirement tax, and the income tax rollback. But I think that's something that the number crunchers will be trying to figure out, and puts a lot of emphasis, too, on Governor Whitmer's budget address, which is slated to happen in February.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, that is always close on the heels of the state address, and that's where kind of brass tacks gets done in terms of what you're actually planning to do and spend money on. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've joined us. I've got two great guests right now talking about Governor Gretchen Whitmer's State of the State address, which will take place today and will air at 7 p.m. right here on 101.9 WDET. Zach Gorchow is the publisher and executive editor of the Gongwer News Service in Lansing. Emily Lawler is a state politics and government editor at the Detroit Free Press. We want to hear from you as well during this conversation. Give us a sense of what you anticipate in Governor Gretchen Whitmer's fifth state of the state, her first in her second term, and her first with Democrats controlling both houses of the state legislature for the first time in about 40 years. What kinds of things are you anticipating from not only the speech, but also from this administration as it takes office for a second term with much more power than it had just a few months ago? What kinds of things do you think should be high on their agenda? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we can include you that way. Nat on Twitter says, I'm personally looking forward to hearing from Whitmer on what her administration plans to do to invest in transit infrastructure. That's a subject, of course, that comes up a lot, especially here in Southeast Michigan, where we have not really been able to get our act together on transit for a really long time. Zach Gorchow, what do we know about what the governor plans to say or is not planning to say about transit infrastructure in this speech?
I don't expect her to talk about transit or transportation very much at all. The governor has made it very clear, you know, yes, something needs to be done as far as a long-term road funding mechanism, but she's not going to come out with a proposal. She's going the old task force route. I would expect at some point in the first several months of this year, we're going to hear about the assembling of a stakeholder group with the hope that somehow they can propose some sort of consensus revenue mechanism. I guess I would somewhat cynically say good luck with that. There's two subjects that, at least based on what I'm hearing and expecting, I don't expect to hear a lot of attention to. And, you know, one is the transportation and transit. The other is healthcare. Those don't seem to be a major focus of the state of the state speech. But as you and Emily were discussing, you know, the budget address is coming in the first half of February. And, you know, there might be some more, you know, interesting and, you know, information about those topics.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Zach Gorchow and Emily Lawler. We'll also continue to hear from you on the phones and on social media. 313-577-1019 is the number. Call and tell us what you'd like to hear from Governor Whitmer, either in the state of the state tonight or in her budget address in a few weeks, the things that you would put on her list of priorities. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we'll include you in the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. WDET, I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm glad you've joined today. Today is the day that Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Lansing will deliver her fifth State of the State address, her first of her second term. She will deliver it to a legislature that is controlled entirely by Democrats. They have majorities in both the state Senate and the state House for the first time in a really long time. We're talking about what she will ask them for, what she will talk about in terms of her agenda for the legislature as we get started in 2023. We have two great guests with us. Zach Gorchow is the publisher and executive editor of the Gongwar News Service in Lansing. Emily Lawler is the state politics and government editor at the Detroit Free Press. They will be both, of course, be covering Governor Whitmer's speech. In a little bit, we are going to be joined by State Senator Ruth Johnson. She's a Republican who represents Michigan's 24th State Senate District, also was a two-term Michigan Secretary of State. We're going to ask her about the Michigan GOP's plan for the new term, this new role that they are assuming as a minority in both the Senate and the House, but also ask her what she anticipates in terms of the governor's speech and the opportunity to get things done as we get started in 2023. We want to hear from you, the listeners, as well, about what you're anticipating with Governor Whitmer and her speech. Give us a call and let us know what things you would put on her list, what kinds of things you think are possible now that she has control, or her party has control, of both houses of the legislature for the first time since she has been governor. 313-577-1019 is the number here. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Big Neo on Twitter says, eliminate the fuel tax loophole so that all gasoline sales pay the tax. Make EVs chip in for the roads, safer streets, world-class schools, regardless of zip code, steps toward universal health care for kids in Michigan, along with universal child care and pre-K. That's a big list, and it's a list that I am somewhat familiar with at this point, given the anticipation that lots of Democrats or liberal interests have with Democrats getting control in Lansing. Emily, that is one of the challenges, is the expectation that's pent up, I think, in the state among Democrats and other, you know, liberal interests about the opportunity to do things differently and maybe roll back things that Republican administrations and legislatures had done. But Big Neo's list is very large and long, and it seems as though that might not be within grasp.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's no shortage of ideas. I think that what they have to prioritize is strategy and figuring out where they spend the political capital earliest, and where they might sit a little bit and see if they let things marinate, and sort of what they get to sort of further down the road. So I think that, you know, certainly some of that list we'll hear about. We talked a little bit about the free pre-K kindergarten for all four-year-olds. I think certainly that'll be on the list. As Zach said, I wouldn't expect to hear much about roads or healthcare. I know I put income tax on the list of things we might not hear much about. Mm-hmm. And I would also put right to work on that list. That's a really big political lift that the governor didn't address in her inauguration speech. And I'd be sort of surprised if she addresses it here in this State of the State address.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Frank in Livonia. Frank, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Stephen. You know, I think of especially about these, you know, toll roads, and, you know, our whole taxing system, you know, federal and state, but it's really based on these behavioral type things, you know, and we're getting sharper and sharper focuses on particular people doing particular behavior. And the road thing that they're proposing is a really good example of, you know, when we drive our cars, it's either to work or to go buy something, you know. I mean, and it's economic behavior generally. It supports the entire economy. So the taxes, and I think I wrote a letter to Bridge Magazine about this, but, you know, the taxes should reflect, you know, how the money is being used. And it goes out across the wider economy. And, you know, constitutionally, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, equal protection and equal access and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it just seems like our tax code is just getting further and further away from that. So I would rather see something like we just go to a general, I wouldn't even call it a tax. I would call it a transaction fee. It could be progressive on by the size of the transaction. And, you know, no more subsidies, no more, you know, tax credits for this, for that, for this, that, and the other thing.
Huh. Frank, that's a really interesting take on the way we do things here from a tax perspective in Michigan. And it's an interesting idea to go in a different direction. Zach Gorchow, I've seen a couple things about taxes and fees in recent weeks that I thought were kind of interesting. One was this idea of toll roads, which comes up every once in a while here in Michigan, never seems to get very far. But there's a new discussion, I guess, about whether toll roads would help with you know, stabilizing revenue. But then also, you know, Frank's question about tax credits. One of the tax credits that the governor plans to expand is the earned income tax credit. But then you've also got, you know, massive tax credits going to businesses and developers, especially here in Southeast Michigan. We're about to debate this $800 million subsidy for the Illich's new development district. How much focus do you expect this administration might have, Zach, on the idea of changing the tax structure, changing the way that we make sure that there's enough revenue to do the things that we need to do?
Well, that's a big question. Rick Snyder would be, former Governor Snyder, would be very sad to hear your caller's comments. His whole mission was to get rid of tax credits and to make the tax code, in his words, simple, fair, and efficient. Now, by the end of his administration, I think he would even acknowledge that maybe things have gone too far, and certainly the business community felt that his tax structure that he put in place did not give the state the tools it needed to compete for large businesses. But the state now no longer is really in the business of awarding big tax credits. It does dole out cash incentives, one-time cash incentives, but the days of the state giving somebody a large tax credit that lasts for 30 years are over. Now, there are still some legacy tax credits, and that might be what he was referencing, that are going to take almost another decade to come off the books. I don't see tax structure reform as really being on the agenda here for this Democratic legislature. And I think a big part of the reason why is money is so flush. Usually you hear discussion about tax structure reform when times are tight and revenue is down and, you know, okay, we need to take a look at, are we, you know, is the tax code fair? Or is it being applied right? Do we need to make changes? And, you know, right now, as we've seen, there's going to be probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 billion in tax cuts before it's all said and done. No one's talking about raising new revenue, not when there's $9 billion just sitting around. Maybe about $1.5 to $2 billion of that is going to be ongoing. So, no, I don't see any push for any kind of tax structure reform. I think Democrats, I mean, if you think about the last two Democratic governors, have spent, Blanchard and Granholm, spent virtually all their political capital on having to increase taxes because the state was going broke in the midst of recessions. And this is a luxury Governor Whitmer and the new Democratic legislature have, for now, is they don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. The state has a ton of money.
Yeah. Emily, I want to talk a little more about the earned income tax credit, which you know, Zach invoked the ideas and agendas of Governor Rick Snyder, who rolled that back as part of his distaste for things like tax credits. This is very high on Democrats and liberals' agenda to re-expand it. It's something that the governor has said she wants to do early, and it is one of those things that you know, will return some money to, especially you know, the sort of needier citizens here in the state that Republicans took away from them.
Yeah, so this tax credit specifically targets the working poor. So these are low-income earners, but who are working and earning income. It's just not maybe enough income. I'm sure we all feel that way sometimes. But certainly, you know, it's a very targeted tax cut to that group of people. And the federal government does an earned income tax credit. Michigan used to have a more generous, I think, 20% match, 20% of the federal credit you'd get back on your state returns, but that got cut to 6% during the Snyder administration, and it was sort of part of that whole rebalancing of our entire tax system that went through in 2011. So Democrats were very upset about that at the time. Obviously, they feel very strongly that that this tax credit is helpful to people. It's a real tax cut that people see, you know, that sort of goes right back into the economy or tends to. So they view it as helpful in that way and also helpful on an individual level for those families. So there are proposals to restore it to the original 20%. There's a proposal to actually put it at 30% of the federal one, mm-hmm. Which is more generous than what was eliminated in 2011. But I will say that I think the energy around that has gotten a little bit more bipartisan. I do think that, you know, in 2011, there was sort of this divide between how Democrats were looking at it and how Republicans were looking at it. And I do think that there's a little bit more common ground there than we saw a decade ago.
Yeah. Michael on Twitter asked, he says, the state has a ton of money, but isn't that because of federal COVID money? If there's so much money, why do we have infrastructure problems? We talked a little bit about the money that's there, but Zach cleared that up for Michael. How much of the money that we have is money that is going to be there regardless, and how much of it is this one-time money that we've got to spend a little more carefully?
Well, the sort of state fiscal expert said a couple of weeks ago is, I believe somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 billion out of that $9 billion could be expected to carry forward into the future, whereas the rest of it is all one-time money because of all the, you know, COVID money that was allocated and then people spent and so forth and was, you know, subject to various taxes. You know, that being said, if you've been around a while, you know that it doesn't take much of a recession, and I mean a real recession, not like the sort of technical one we had last year, where unemployment surges and so forth, where, you know, that $1.5 billion would be wiped out, you know, pretty much in the blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. So no one should think that it's permanent, but as at least for the foreseeable future, it appears that it would carry forward. I would expect that we're going to see some type of a supplemental appropriations bill this year that is laden with infrastructure funding. The governor has already been able to front load a lot of funding into state highways with the bond proposal she did a couple of years ago. But the real problem that I think a lot of people are talking about is the local roads, the locally owned roads. They did not benefit from the bond issue. And I have to think there is going to be a big push for some type of a package to get some money into the local roads with this huge surplus.
Yeah. Jake on Twitter, and we should say it's Jake Neer, who used to be a producer here at Detroit Today and also covered Lansing for a long time. He says it'll be interesting to see what happens with bipartisan transparency initiatives that have languished for years and years now that Dems have slim majorities. Emily, I'll give you the first crack at responding to that. That has gone on for some time. I wonder if the switch in power makes some of that a little better, I guess, a little more, a little easier to resolve.
Good question, Jake, and I see you're holding the torch for us, because I guess that is sort of on my list of things I don't expect to come up at the State of the State as well. But I wish it would. I think that's a really good discussion.
And we should say this is a governor who promised a lot of transparency or more, and we are still waiting for some of that to be.
Yeah, and it was sort of a legislative blockade that has always stopped this transparency legislation in the past. So I do think that there's some potential that with Democrats in charge, that sort of artificial blockade will be removed. I say artificial because there was always a sense that if you put that on the floor, most people would vote for it. Mm-hmm. In fact, it passed the House by wide, wide margins and just never came up in the Senate last session. And, you know, the majority controls what comes up on the floor. So I do think that there's a little bit more momentum on an issue like that, and a little bit more possibility that it could could come up and, you know, actually get that vote where it would be expected to pass. You know, I think it's politically difficult for really any lawmaker to vote against opening their own books. Certainly they can do it, but it requires a little bit of finessing and explanation. But I, for one, would love to see Michigan crawl up that list of most transparent states in the nation, because right now I believe we're at the bottom.
Yeah, we're still pretty bad there. Let's quickly go to Jordan in Detroit before we have to break. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I was wondering, what are the governor's plans, if any, to address the housing crisis? I live and work in a community that houses unhoused people who are in transition, and most of them would say that this has gotten much worse since the pandemic, and also they go all the way back to when the mental hospitals were closed under Engler.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm just wondering if your guests could comment on that and what we can do to prevent more people from dying out in the cold.
Yeah, great question, Jordan. Zach, I'll give you first crack at that.
So I don't know that we're going to hear specifics tonight, but I think there might be some type of broad overture, and probably the best way I can put it is the Democrats in the legislature now in the majority have elevated housing as an issue. And the way they did that is they created a special subcommittee for it in the House, and they made it part of a regular committee in the Senate. So the Human Services Committee became the Housing and Human Services Committee. So it appears to be front of mind for the Democrats in the legislature, and the governor began, you know, really, you know, directing her administration to do more with this last year. But what form this all takes, what policies are proposed, that's very unclear right now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Zach Gorchow, Emily Lawler, we look forward to your coverage of Governor Whitmer's speech tonight, but thanks so much for joining us here on Detroit Today.
Great to be with
you. Thanks for having us. Yeah.
And a reminder that Governor Whitmer's State of the State address will air at 7 p.m. here on 101.9 WDET. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by State Senator Ruth Johnson, who is a Republican who represents Michigan's 24th State Senate District. She was also a two-term Michigan Secretary of State. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.